The presidential motorcade had just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas and was circling through the fringes of the business district when three shots suddenly rang out.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
Wow, I had an entirely different show lined up for you guys. Entirely different show. I was already in post-production, getting ready to cover some amazing things, especially with the Muslim Brotherhood, and then all of a sudden, Wednesday happened. And it was really interesting because I get a call in the morning from Michael over at conservativelibrary.com, a.k.a. head librarian. You might read some of his stuff. He calls me up and he's like, hey, in Virginia, the House whip was shot. And I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? And I'm thinking in my head, similar to what happened with Creed Deeds, you know, where his son stabbed him. He was the Virginia state senator that the Virginia State Police found stabbed by his son back in 2013. I was thinking it was some event like that, that it was under control. And I get to a computer and I actually see the first tweet about how a jogger went up to a representative and said, hey, are those the Republicans down there or are those the Democrats practicing baseball? And that's when it all started to unravel to where I was like, I've got to figure out what the heck's going on with this situation, because this isn't a simple gunshot in the park. This is an event. And we want to think of the families. We want to think of those affected by the shooting in Alexandria, Virginia, especially Representative Steve Scalise, the Capitol Police officers, and the aides that worked with them, the lobbyist that was shot. While practicing for the upcoming congressional baseball game, House Majority Whip Steve Scalise and his aides were shot at. Steve Scalise was shot in the hip, and the motive of the gunman was completely politically motivated. I mean, it was said that this gentleman rolled up and been wearing regular running clothes and went up to Representative Duncan, even mentioned to Representative Mark Walker, and basically said, are those Republicans or Democrats out there practicing? 5 minutes later, gunfire shoots out. 50 rounds of gunfire, 10 minutes of shooting. And from the sound of it, it was an M4, which is basically illegal. Now, I'm not sure if it was a civilian modified M4. It's hard to say. We don't get all the information on the weapon, but it's not something you would normally go pick up and just buy from the gun store. And, of course, the left was online just going off. You had this one gentleman, David Frum, that's right, from The Atlantic. He posted, Virginia. No background checks, no licensing, no registration, no permit required for concealed carry of long guns. Really? Open carry long guns and handguns. Well, the gentleman was from Illinois, you idiot. So if he purchased it there, he probably rolled right into Virginia with it. And keep in mind, on the Facebook page that this gentleman had, his name is James T. Hodgkinson, he was a Bernie Sanders supporter. In fact, Bernie Sanders even made a message about this incident.
Madam President, I have just been informed that the alleged shooter at the Republican baseball practice this morning is someone who apparently volunteered on my presidential campaign. I am sickened by this despicable act, and let me be as clear as I can be. Violence of any kind is unacceptable in our society, and I condemn this action in the strongest possible terms.
Now, this is very interesting because within the same month and a half or so, we had that incident in Portland where the killer, who was an anti-circumcision guy, but apparently with that knife, not, I guess circumcision is an issue, but the rest of your body, yeah, we can go ahead and slice that up. But he was a Bernie Sanders supporter as well. And what we need to realize is that these attacks, think about what would have happened had, you know, Steven Scalise not had his security detail. There would have at least been 30 dead representatives. Think of what that's like a 9/11 scale event. And Rand Paul actually gives a detailed account of what happened.
Well, I was in the batting cage at the time, and the first shot was sort of an isolated shot. You know, I grew up in the South, and I just thought someone had discharged a shotgun, which isn't that unusual in the South. But then I thought, well, we are in the city. We're not in the country here. But then after the first shot, then there was a rapid succession of shots, you know, 5 or 10 shots. So I'm outside the perimeter. I'm on the right field line, and the batting cage is outside the field. There's about a 10-foot fence between me and the field. And in the field, I see Representative Scalise is shot but moving, and he's trying to drag himself through the dirt out into the outfield. There are two staffers in right field, only about 10 feet from me, but there's about a 20-foot fence separating me from them. And they were laying down, but then I'm seeing the shots hitting the dirt around them. And they're trying to make a difficult decision. Do we lay here, stay low, and hope he doesn't hit us? And this is the difficult decision. Or does the shooter just advance and come closer and shoot you? And so you have to make a decision at some point whether to stay or run. And so one of the staffers scrambled up over the fence. It was probably, like I say, a 15, 20-foot tall fence. He did it in about 2 seconds. I don't think I could have done that. So I'm on the outside of the fence, and he and I are hiding behind a tree. But the gunshots are landing in the dirt in the outfield and around us. But it takes a few minutes to determine. You're not sure where they're coming from. I mean, my instinct was they were coming from the third baseline. And as more shots were fired, we were pretty sure that was. But you're kind of not sure which side of the tree to stand on because you're not sure where the shots are coming from.
And not only was Rand Paul shot at, Representative Joe Barton's youngest son was at the practice, and they protected him in the dugout. So this is the problem in America right now. The division that we are seeing, it's really at a fever pitch on the right, and we need to find a way to mend these fences, because just because your candidate didn't win doesn't mean that you should wage violent jihad, violent war on America. And we need to think about the sides we are saddling up with, such as the Muslim Brotherhood, such as the Antifa protesters. Back in just a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
Welcome back. So let's talk a little bit about James Hodgkinson. Okay, this guy is from Illinois. And on his Facebook page, he's got giant Bernie Sanders banners. He's got anti-Trump memes. He's a part of anti-Trump groups. In fact, he's a part of groups that disturbingly want to take out Trump. He's also had memes up that actually referenced Scalise. So the guy is obviously not somebody who's just, you know, he randomly picked Scalise out of the blue. I think it was probably when he found out that Scalise was a part of the crew down there for the entire baseball tournament coming up, or the baseball game. I think that just lit up his day. And the interesting thing is, he left a couple of months earlier from the shooting to live in Virginia out of a duffel bag. He was staying at the YMCA. He wasn't staying there for the fun little reach arounds that, you know, the village people sing about. He was staying there because it was a way for him to reside in the area, scope the scene out, and take out his opponents. This is premeditated. He didn't just roll up with a long gun. They like to call it a long gun. He didn't just roll up in his jogging suit with a long gun and say, are those Democrats, Republicans out there practicing? They're Republicans. Okay, good. Let me go ahead and start shooting. He thought this through. And in fact, there's an article I'm about to read later where they actually discuss how there's security detail hiding out for this event. They even hyperlinked the event in the article, and it came out a couple of months earlier. So, coincidence? I don't know. But the interesting thing is some of the other true coincidence that happened leading up to this. From WTOP, former Alexandria mayor Bill Yule said he got the shock of his life when the face of the man suspected of opening fire on members of Congress flashed on the TV screen Wednesday morning. Yule said, "That's the guy with the laptop, with whom he chatted with each morning in recent months at the local YMCA. Yule, he's still called the mayor by the area residents, said 66-year-old James T. Hodgkinson had been frequenting the lobby of the YMCA on East Monroe Avenue for at least nearly 2 months. Yule, who works out of the YMCA 5 days a week, said he often chatted with Hodgkinson and even tried to help the Illinois man find a job. Quote, he was a loner, but presented himself very well. He was well-spoken, just didn't seem to be depressed or irritated about anything, Yule said. He never engaged in political talk, Yule also continued. But Hodgkinson would shower, go to his car, get his laptop out, sit there for hours. Quote, never really interacting with anyone but myself when he saw me. And this person, this staff person at the front desk he spoke with as well. Obviously the guy knows politics. Obviously the guy, because your average person didn't even know who the heck Scalise was. You know, your low information TMZ, People Magazine, Inside Edition, Nightly News on NBC, individual, couldn't tell you who Scalise is. Hell, couldn't even tell you what the majority whip is or what they even do. But this guy did. This guy even knew who the mayor was because that's the only person he talked to. According to Yule, Hodgkinson recently asked the front desk staff about the group of men playing baseball in the mornings at the field nearby. He wanted to know if they were Democrats or Republicans. South Carolina Representative Jeff Duncan said he was leaving the field before the shooting began when a man asked him which team was playing on the field. Democrats or Republicans? Wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that that's referenced in an article that I'm about to read in the New York Times 2 months ago. Who knows? Maybe that gave him a good idea. Anyways, Hodgkinson has ranted against Republican leaders in the past on his Facebook page and in letters to the editor in his hometown newspaper. And Yule is a Democrat. Let's not forget that. So the gunman has spent weeks, maybe even months, scoping out the area. So another member of the YMCA, Stephen Brenwald, said he'd regularly seen Hodgkinson at the gym, but never in workout gear. That's odd. Maybe he's like the people that use the government-funded rec centers here in the area, where you had the little Asian lady on the treadmill in jeans. I mean, who's working out in jeans? Anyways, he never worked out. He never talked to anybody. He never did anything, Brenwald told the Washington Post. He would just sit there and stare at his laptop. And when he wasn't on his laptop, he'd stare out the window at Eugene Simpson Stadium Park, where the shooting occurred. So he scoped that place out. No one thought that was odd. He had this kind of fairway stare. Yeah, when you've got a guy who looks like John Goodman from The Big Lebowski standing there looking out with a 1,000-yard stare at the baseball field, asking if it's Republicans and Democrats, and you're a loner, and you've been hanging out at the YMCA every morning looking at your laptop with no job, I don't know. I would probably go, I don't know about this cat. Now, hindsight is, you know, 20/20. Hindsight is plenty. But at the same time, I would think that that's an odd bird. Sorry, he's not working out, but he's in the gym. And he's not even in gym clothes. A source close to Hodgkinson's family said to the Post that Hodgkinson moved to the area in April without even telling his wife, daughter, or grandson why. James just packed up and moved out, said the source, who last saw James' daughter, Tasha, during a visit to Belleville, Illinois, in April. His wife, Sue, didn't know why or what the reason was for why he was even going. Quote, I thought he was maybe gay or left for another woman. I mean, who gets up, just walks away after 30 or so years of marriage? It's just crazy, the source added. The family friend, who requested anonymity in order to speak candidly about the situation, recounted several instances in which she and Hodgkinson had battled on Facebook over their conflicting political beliefs. Quote, I actually blocked him on Facebook. It was so bad, the source said, recalling an instance in May when they got into a fight over a Facebook post by Hodgkinson's wife about millennials and personal responsibility. Hodgkinson had responded to the source's comment with a Photoshop picture of President Trump looking demented, accusing the president of behaving like an adolescent in office. Quote, this guy would not let up, the source said. Tasha, Hodgkinson's daughter, or adopted daughter, had moved back from the U.S. from Germany earlier this year, months before her father abruptly relocated to Washington. So this guy, out of the blue, granted, he's staring at his laptop every single day. Was he being orchestrated? I mean, I'm not one to come up with conspiracy theories. This is just me thinking out loud. Me thinking aloud. Why in the world would somebody, out of the blue, pack up and leave and hang out in a YMCA for a couple of months, looking at a laptop every morning, scoping out where they're going to kill, or they're going to attempt to kill, 30 representatives, a mixture of congressmen and senators. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Now, the real thing that needs to be brought up in this story are the heroes of the event. The fact that one of the, you know, people get into identity politics. People talk about girl power. People talk about this whole Wonder Woman thing that's been going on. The left has been wanting to find something that they can ignite and unite the women, the feminists on the left, together in a show of solidarity so that they can reignite a war on women. You know, they want to get back to that Sandra Fluke, it costs me a couple grand every year for birth control, which is a friggin' lie. I mean, if you want to go to the truck stop, use about 50 cents and get some rubbers, go right ahead. That works too. Maybe you can pose as a 21 Jump Street, investigative high schooler and get some of those free condoms from the high school since they give them out to the kids. You know, now birth control is free. But anyways, they want to ignite that war on women that never existed on the right. And they want to do so through empowerment because they're doing it to show that women can be strong women. So they've done this Wonder Woman movie. And the Wonder Woman movie itself isn't responsible for this, so don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is the movie theaters out there trying to do screenings of just women only, to which Stephen Miller from Heat Street, that guy's awesome. Love his tweets online. Follow at Red Stees if you get an opportunity, if you haven't already. It's one of the great aspects of social media. That's all I can say. He ended up buying a ticket, and he kept it pretty low-key. But you know what? His thing was, you're going to tell me I can't go? I'm going. And people wanted to glom on. And he was like, no, I'm not going to turn it into a media circus. I'm going to show up and watch this thing to show you that you can't just turn around and exclude the male population. It's against the law on one hand, but you're not going to step to that level to make it a level of outrage. But the whole reason why they were even doing that at these movie theaters is to show strong women. You want to show strong women? The Capitol police officer who helped stop this entire event was a female. Okay, she's a female. She knew how to use a gun. She's a strong woman in my book. This from Fox News. The two wounded officers at the scene returned fire and struck the shooter, Alexandria Police Chief Michael Brown said. The female officer assigned to Scalise's security detail was shot in the foot and was being treated at the same hospital as Scalise. President Donald Trump confirmed in a message on Twitter that Scalise, 51, is expected to fully recover after being shot in the hip, although he suffered some internal injuries and is really struggling. President Trump actually showed up at the hospital and was paying his respects to Scalise and those injured in the gun battle. But Crystal Grinner, she was named as one of the two heroic Capitol Police officers who saved many lives at the congressional baseball practice in Virginia. Described as a woman to be reckoned with. A former college classmate gave the description that Griner was an athlete with a lively presence. I mean, she is amazing, and so was the other officer, David Bailey. We want to think of the heroes that stepped up. Yeah, it's their duty, it's their job, but you know what? In the face of danger, they didn't flinch. They didn't drop the ball. And you want to talk about empowering women? Crystal Grinner is one of an example to give all women something to be proud of. Back in just a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
You know, if there's one thing that this whole Scalise shooting has shown us, especially in regards to the media, is that their credibility is completely gone. And yet you can sit there and say, well, Adrian, we already knew that. I mean, come on. They've been talking about Russia for the last 6-7 months, and there's not any evidence of Russian collusion. They've wasted our time. All they are doing is trying Donald Trump in the court of public opinion. They're sitting there on TV, giving us a nice little show, showing us hearings, and giving the low information voter some semblance of a corrupt investigation when it's almost like if I wanted to bring everybody into a courtroom, sit somebody down and talk gibberish for about an hour and put it on TV. The fact that you're sitting in a courtroom on TV has already told people, oh, this guy's guilty. And so that's what they've been doing. The media has been conducting this clown show for the last 7 months or so. And on top of that, with this incident, they have completely just sealed their death of credibility. I mean, they have been hit in the head with a hammer. They've been shot, they've been buried, and then somebody poured gasoline on the gravesite and lit it on fire. You can't get more deader, that's not really a word, but you can't get more deader than the credibility of the mainstream media. And those in the media who chimed in on this event really showed themselves. This guy, Jesse Benn, he blocked me on Twitter. Imagine that. He's from the Huffington Post. Listen to this tweet. For violent resistance to work, it need to be organized. Individual acts can be understandable, but likely counterproductive and ineffective. Did you just call for a collective to get together and be organized for violence? Violent resistance? That's the Huffington Post. And then you've got Sean King. Sean King, Talcum X. This guy is whiter than Tom Bergeron on Dancing with the Stars, Dancing the River Dance. Now Dancing the River Dance, Cracker McConkey. I mean, this is Sean King. The guy thinks he is a luminary for the black struggle. He thinks he is the forefront of Black Lives Matter, and he's also been given journalist spotlights and highlights and pieces throughout the media. And he's white. The guy, he's whiter than Rachel Dolezal. And if you remember who Rachel Dolezal is, she was the woman who pretended to be black and worked for the NAACP, and then it was called out on camera that she was white. But he had a lot to say. This is his list of tweets. He had a little tweet storm, you know, a little tweet drizzle. I'd like to take a quick second to break something down regarding this awful shooting in Alexandria, Virginia. Had the shooter been black or Muslim or an immigrant, few people would spend time parsing if they were also conservative, liberal, etc. So let's stop right there. If the shooter had been Muslim, he would have been portrayed in the news as being black or Hispanic, as they've done in the past, as they did with the shooting in Orlando, as they did with the shooting in New Jersey, you know, at the mall. I think it was in New Jersey. Had he been black, we wouldn't have heard much about it. So, Sean King, your tweet number two is completely devoid of facts. So let's go on. Number three, but the shooter, believed to be 66-year-old James Hodgkinson, was white. Notice, though, the nuanced treatment he receives from whites. Instead of white people in general taking the heat for James Hodgkinson, he is almost instantly being called a liberal radical. Well, that whole rolling up on the, on the representatives and saying, hey, are those the Republicans out there practicing or are those the Democrats? That's kind of going to put you in the liberal category if you decide to shoot on a collection of Republican representatives with your Facebook page littered with Bernie Sanders memes and anti-Trump groups that you're a part of. So another reason why your tweet is completely wrong. But anyways, further. But when a Muslim does what James Hodgkinson just did, the prevailing white discourse is not to talk about the type of Muslim he is. Nah. What does that even mean? What are they going to get into? Shia or Sunni? Guess what? None of that matters after they've decided to go Allahu Akbar and ignite themselves in the middle of a freaking shopping mall or a restaurant. They're not going to mince words and split hairs and go, well, was he a Sunni? Shia? Was he from northern Iraq? They're just going to say, he was doing it in the name of Allah. A Muslim is a Muslim at that point. Anyways, going further, if a Muslim shot a congressman today, it would be called a terrorist attack. Islam itself would be widely condemned and blamed. Well, let's take that tweet apart. If a progressive shot at a congressman today, I would say it's a terrorist attack. And progressivism would be widely condemned and blamed. And guess what? That's what's happening right now. But further, but I continue to say that if America wanted to drastically reduce mass shootings by way of a human ban, white men must be banned first. This is coming from a white guy. It's amazing to me. Just the lack of self-awareness just gets lost. It's unbelievable to me that somebody would be this ridiculously blind to the fact that it was a progressive that did this. And listen to this from the New York Times back in April 12, 2017. In a city obsessed with the trappings of power, they are the ultimate status symbol. The wire-wearing, black SUV-driving protective crews that come with the high-level government service. So when it came to light last week that the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, had ordered the United States Marshal Service to extend a full protective detail to Betsy DeVos, the Education Secretary, for as much as $1 million a month. Ooh, let's start breaking down the economics of our leaders that we don't like. You know, that's what they did with the Kenneth Starr hearings and Bill Clinton, that investigation. Oh, they went on and on. Look at the money wasted. How about before they decided to go in and burn Waco down to the ground, the money count of tax revenue on a daily basis from the start? They were like, today is day 85 of the Waco standoff, and it costs you, the taxpayer, because that's where they get you. They know they're going to piss you off if they can start talking about how much money is being wasted in a full dollar amount. So that's why we get this little statement here on Betsy DeVos's protective detail for Education Secretary. But anyways, going back to the article, for as much as $1 million a month, many people began to wonder about the protective pecking order in the Trump era. The answer given the nature of the job. It is difficult to know. Security forces are loath to discuss much about who they protect or what it costs for fear, they say, of compromising their mission. But when billionaire Wilbur L. Ross Jr., the Commerce Secretary, goes to a dinner at a fancy Georgetown restaurant, bodyguards sit nearby. Now, this is an interesting quote here because this was about 2 months ago. When members of Congress practice in the early mornings in an Alexandria, Virginia public park for their congressional baseball game, which has a hyperlink, plainclothes United States Capitol Police are sitting there in a black SUV. So basically, through code, and I'm not saying that the New York Times said, hey, go out there and shoot these people. But if you were somebody with a chip on your shoulder, and this was the type of news media that you wanted to always be engulfed in for information, you know, democracy dies in darkness, Washington Post. If that's going to be where you get your information and you are on the verge of cracking, a little statement like that's going to perk up and go, maybe I can catch him at the baseball practice. I mean, they just talked about it. And the left went on and on. Listen to the tweets that they had to say about the Scalise shooting. These people have no soul. Alexandria is a direct result of Scalise's votes and teabagging beliefs. Love karma. This is what you vote for, Trumpers. No whining. Seriously? How about this one? Good thing members of Congress have great health care, so Scalise won't have to worry about going bankrupt in D.C. due to hefty medical bills. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the fact that if he was somebody in the private sector and his plan didn't meet the definition of a qualified plan by the IRS, his health insurance would have been canceled. What if he was out there with a Dear John letter in the mail with no health insurance and he gets mowed down by some jackoff? Guess what? He has to go bankrupt at this point. So don't give me this self, important, well, thank goodness for affordable health care, because guess what? Those in Congress have exempted themselves. Anyways, let's go further. Former Arizona Representative Gabby Giffords, who was seriously wounded in a mass shooting in 2011. If you remember what happened with that, you should see the tweet that Jane Fonda, you know, everybody loves Jane Fonda. Oh, yeah. Going to Vietnam, throwing America under the bus. You know, she's a communist. And she had this little tweet that she put out, which was very interesting because given the nature of the events that happened, it's kind of funny that she would have this tweet pulled up from 2011. Progressive Arizona Representative Gabrielle Giffords is shot. In her ads, Sarah Palin had her targeted in a gun sight, inciting to violence. So all of these people, the Huffington Post guy, talking about, well, you need to organize for violent protests to be successful. And you talk about Kathy Griffin holding up the severed head of Donald Trump, the bloody severed head. And you want to talk about inciting violence? You know, Julius Caesar? You've got this guy. When I think of Julius Caesar, I don't think of some guy in a suit and tie with an orange comb over, getting, you know, with his necktie down to his scrotum, getting knifed. Obviously, they're portraying Donald Trump there. I mean, it's not like they have everybody in, you know, portraying Julius Caesar with an orange comb over. So none of that is looked at as incitful violence. It's not looked at as inciting violence. So the news media has not only killed its credibility beyond repair, it is also complicit with the fact that they are calling for these acts to occur. They are encouraging these acts to occur, but then they're stepping aside and saying, oh, we're not encouraging anything. We aren't, you know, it's art, it's free speech, it's whatever they want to throw it under. It's freedom of the press. They step back and hope that somebody is going to rise from the ashes and take the lead and cause the violence and cause the mass shootings and cause the protest. And then they can sit there and say, see, people have had enough. They stoke the flames and then wait for everybody to react. And then they step off to the side and go, oh, well, wasn't us. But look, people are doing something. So let's report on it and let's talk about it for the next 9 months. Back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
Welcome back. So a lot of people are saying, well, you know, you can't just say it's all progressives and all liberals that, you know, are out there shooting. They're going to turn around and say, well, we need gun control. And Republicans should be happy with the fact that we should have gun control because they were the ones shot at. And had we had gun control, nobody would have been able to shoot at them out there on the field. You know, they threw Rand Paul's statement from years back in his face. A Vox reporter actually said, by taking Rand Paul's statement of saying, we don't use guns to hunt for deer, we use it to keep a government in check. They threw that back in his face by saying, well, how does it feel now since you've been shot, you know, at with a weapon? And what they don't understand is Rand Paul was sitting there saying, all we could do is defend ourselves with bats. Had they had weapons, they probably could have taken them out even quicker. Because I'm sure some of those cats have a little bit of firearm background training. I know Rand Paul does. So it was, to me, it was amazing that somebody would make these statements and that the left would just go crazy on gun control, hoping to spur some sort of unity with the right because of the fact that they were the ones who were targeted by weapons. And actually on the same tweet from Rand Paul, you get this Marcos Multisas from the Daily Cause. Republicans are getting what they want. Well, you know what? No, we're not, because you're still writing your BS propaganda. And Sally Cohn looks more like a man than Rachel Maddow. In fact, the funniest part about it is she kind of looks like that blonde kid from Karate Kid, you know, Cobra Kai. Yeah, she kind of looks like that kid. But Sally Cohn said, conservatives are more hateful and violent than liberals. Seriously, have you thought about the last, I don't know, say every assassination attempt going back for about 50 years or so? I can tell you right now, the vitriol always comes from the left. And the left has no standards. The left has no morals. So the left doesn't care. And they're fine with Christians being beheaded in Syria. They're fine with your children being, their health care benefits because of your benefits not matching the qualified definition of a qualified health care plan under the ACA just being demolished. They don't care about these things. It's called, well, you know, sometimes you got to crack some eggs. Sometimes people have to die for the liberal agenda to be fulfilled. And that's the hypocrisy that they live in. You know, oh yeah, if the kid comes out of the womb, then the village has to raise it because you're too stupid to raise your kid. But if we can catch him before he's on his way out of the vajayjay, because it's vajayjay rights, it's not the kid's rights, even though the kid is a person, we have to exterminate him and take him out before he gets there. But that's the hypocrisy of the left. And the left has been trying to turn this entire thing around to point it at Republicans and make them seem hypocritical for wanting to have the freedom of protection from a tyrannical government that they would be the ones to ultimately control. But the one thing that I noticed was, and this is something that I tweeted about, socialists and Marxists are always violent. Why is this a surprise to any of us? You know, Lee Harvey Oswald was a Marxist. Sirhan Sirhan, who killed Robert Kennedy, he's a Palestinian, and he showed solidarity with Marxists. In fact, this is from a quote that I read. Oswald, an American citizen who once tried to renounce his citizenship and obtain the Russian citizenship, Sirhan Sirhan reportedly attended meetings of the communist W.E.B. Du Bois, the club, and the pro-Viet Cong organization Students for a Democratic Society. Oswald was a member of the pro-communist Fair Play for Cuba committee. Sirhan is a socialist. These cats all assassinated the Kennedys. Then you think about the Marxist and socialist leaders like Vladimir Lenin, Joseph Stalin. How about the Great Purge? How about Mao? How about those that helped Fidel Castro, like Che Guevara and Fidel Castro himself, all socialist? And what makes the Scalise shooting any different? Maybe the fact that the shooter's wife said he left 2 months ago and the news story decided to write around that same time, hey, the Capitol baseball practices, they barely have any detail and they're hanging out in their car when they're there. Click the link to learn more about the Capitol baseball game. You know, because that's where they're practicing. Maybe it's because he's a Bernie Sanders supporter. And a lot of people say, well, you know, you can't just lump them all together. I mean, Bernie Sanders, you know, he's still an American. He still loves America. Well, why did he honeymoon in communist Moscow in 1988? Why did he back the Sandinistas in Nicaragua? Who would have ever thunk that some Marxist with no moral compass would be so worked up over an opposing view that they'd shoot up United States representatives from the Republican Party? He didn't purchase an M4 rifle, which is illegal, from Virginia and go through Virginia background measures because he came from Illinois. So just drop that whole stupid argument. Don't mistake my position. I didn't vote Trump, but this so-called Trump hate was simply rabble-rousing ejections for violent Sanders protesters at Trump rallies. You know, when Trump was like, throw him out, that wasn't the violence that wasn't the call to violence that is causing this entire mess that's happening right now. That was a reaction to violent protest at his rallies. This was a symptom before Donald Trump. What about Baltimore? What about Ferguson? What about what happened down there with Trayvon Martin in Florida? These were all ratcheted up by the Marxist left simply to set the stage for civil unrest. Cloward and Piven, anyone? Overload the system. Cause civil discourse. Your revolution is found within. It's slowly becoming a fevered pitch until both parties decide to promote unity in support of American success, in support of American ideology, in support of things that are pro-constitutional freedoms and not just the special interests. We don't need to take the side of the transgendered little people, females that are against guns or some crazy wackadoo group. What we need to do is think about what is best for America. I mean, that's when unity will start to arise. That's when things will start to come together. When we start to think of what can we agree upon to fix this nation. I mean, the Democrat Party of JFK is dead. The Democrat Party of Marxism and the Muslim Brotherhood subversion, which we're going to talk about next week, is its replacement. I wasn't born and raised a global citizen by my parents, on par with the citizens of Venezuelan or Cuban socialist, okay? I was born and raised an American. We are the beacon. We are the example of freedom to other nations. They follow our example. We don't follow theirs. Hashtag American exceptionalism. If you want idiots like Hank Johnson or Sheila Jackson Lee making your life choices for you as they live high on the tax hog, they're now the elites. They're shielded from having to live like the proletariat, you know, the people down there at the bottom. Then you're a moron. Give your life to them. But if you want the ability to carve your own path to success with minimal government intervention, you'll see why I believe the way I do. A civil society cannot exist without a conscience. A republic cannot survive without virtuous citizens. That's what we look to conserve. When we say we're conservative, that's what we're trying to conserve. The conservation of values and the principles that the founders not only understood were inherent, but essential to a republic. You can't exist as a republic without this. If you lack these traits, or you plain out reject them, it is you who are the problem and the reason for the current crumbling of society. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Adrian Slade on the Talk America Radio Network. You can listen to me on Talk America Radio every Saturday morning, 9 a.m., Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. Check out the iTunes podcast, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio app, and get the free Adrian Slade Show Roku channel. Until next week, I'll see you. God bless.